Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 66 of our Year of the Bible adventure and our third day in the book of Joshua. Good for the Israelites, mostly, because they finally destroy, after being driven away, they are able to destroy, having set themselves right with the Lord, having, you know, made things work, they are able to destroy Ai, and they do it in a clever way. They go out and they draw them out. They have a small force. They draw the small force out, but then on the other side, the real force comes in, and yada, yada, yada. I shouldn't yada, yada the destruction of an entire town, but that's what they did. Some friends of theirs from Bethel, these are all very important, important Canaanite towns. Bethel came out because, again, there's stuff going on in Canaan, and you wanna shut that down if you can. If you're in Bethel, you don't want these you know, Hebrews wandering around causing problems. Unfortunately, they fell victim to the same ruse. And it looks like they got conquered too. So far, so good-ish now that they were able to do it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the battle, but it's really good. Joshua holds up the javelin or the something, javelin or rod or spear or something. And that's how that was their signal to go do things. They saw the smoke of the city rising up. The men of Ai looked back and saw the smoke of the city rising up into the sky. Does that sound like anything? The smoke of the city rising up into the sky? Sounds like the destruction of Sodom to me, which is an interesting thing. The word there, I'm going to leave that for another time. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a permanent heap of ruins. Here's the problem, here's a sort of difficulty with them leaving a heap of ruins, is that we're not entirely sure where it is, and so, or was, I should say. So I posted a map, you know, that shows these approximate locations, you know, so that you could sort of get a sense of the general, you know, thrust of things. We know it was to the west, and then they went to the north. But where exactly those things were is not known and not clear. And more detailed maps show, like, it could have been here, it could have been here, it could have been here. But for our purposes, that's not very helpful. So they were able to destroy. There's a copper looking at me. I don't like that. They're able to destroy that. They've got Bethel taken care of, and so they head north. And they head way north, and it makes you wonder. Was there nobody in between those two, in between those two places? If there were, or maybe it just means like everybody was afraid of them. Anyway, they went way up to Shechem, which was where Abraham had originally sort of talked to God after having left his people, talked to God about. God talked to him about making the promise of what they're going to do. And he took everybody up there. Joshua took everybody up there and renewed the covenant. And what renewing the covenant looks like is half of them stood on the side of Mount Ebal and half of them stood on the side of Mount Gerizim. And they said the blessings and curses, just like Moses had told them to, back and forth. They built an altar of uncut stones, and they also wrote the law on tablets or on stone that had been whitewashed with lime or something like that. I don't know exactly how that worked. I don't know exactly who did it. Maybe it was Joshua. Well, it says Joshua wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses. Was that the entire law of Moses? Was it just the Ten Commandments? Was it just the blessings and curses? We don't know. But the point is, similar to the point that I made 2 days ago, which was the law now becomes a written thing rather than an oral thing, or I should say a written/oral thing rather than a Moses thing. It becomes sort of something that the Hebrew people themselves live with, the Israelites live with, rather than just being Moses the person. And then he read it all. But in chapter 9, there is the Gibeonite deception. The Gibeonites are not far away. They hear that the Israelites are on the move, and so they do this ruse. What they do is they dress up as if they're from far away, and they carry these this like old food, and they put on their worst clothes and all that kind of stuff. And they pretend like they're from far away. And the Gibeonites go to the Israelites and say, "We're from really far away, and we heard what you did to Jericho. And so we want to make a truce with you." And Joshua and the people say, like, "Wait a minute. Like, are you really from far away? Because who knows? Like, you've got accents that kind of sound like you're from around here." They said, no. We're from far away. Set a treaty with us so that we can get along because we're far away." Joshua and the Israelites did make a treaty with them, but the text says without consulting the Lord. Dun dun dun. So they made the treaty, but without consulting the Lord. And then it comes out. Then it comes out that just Gibeonites. Wait, I thought it was the Hivites. Oh hell, I don't know. One place it says Gibeonites, but another place it says Hivites. I don't know. Anyway, they make this treaty with them nonetheless. Then it turns out, 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, they was like, "Wait a minute!" You know, it's like they took off their like fake glasses and their mustache. Like, "You guys aren't from far away. You're from around the corner. Why'd you do that?" Well, they said, "Because we were afraid." So the Israelites want to kill them then, right? Because that's what they're supposed to do. Joshua says, "No, you can't do that. The thing is, we made this oath. You know, we shouldn't have made the oath. We messed that up, but we did. So we can't kill him now. So there you are." And so he doesn't. But what you're going to do is be woodcutters and water carriers in the service of the whole assembly. Here's the funny thing. They do. And they end up doing that for a very, very long time, including up until the days of the temple. They become sort of nearby for the whole time, like sort of like resident aliens, but resident aliens who do become part of sort of the worship of the God of Israel. And they live in the tribe with the Benjamites, and they sort of do this service, this worship service. They clean up the altar, and they get all the wood and water carriers. You see, the wood for the sacrifice, water to clean up. And that's what they did. The sun stands still because they end up fighting a whole bunch, five different kings. Five different kings get together as a confederation and say, "We got to go stop these Hebrews." And so they all get together. The Israelites are terrified. God says, "Don't worry about it. I'll take it. This is actually good. You can take them all at one time." And so that's what they did. And then you got the part where Joshua holds up his arms and keeps the sun from moving. And that's how they were able to win, because they had the opportunity to do it. Anyway, I got to pick up my kids, but that is the next day. I love the book of Joshua, as you can see, and I think the campaigns and the way that the campaigns are so clearly put together only with the providence of God is very instructive. So more to say about that when the time comes. Let us pray. O God, who has caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Have a great day. Talk to you later.